Oh, we are partying because it's your talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM. KSVL in Smith and Mason Valley for all of Northern Nevada. You know what one of the great things about Northern Nevada is? We've got farmers. We've got ranchers. Oh, we got a whole lot of ranchers out there. And so we can actually buy beef locally. Not that. That was a horrible thing to play, Dan. You need a moo. But, you know, goats, lamb, deer for the hunters out there. So we've only got a couple of processing plants up here. So couldn't we use another down south, Douglas County? That's what Carson Valley Meats is trying to do, starting to start a processing plant. And there's concerns. It's going to be at Centerville Lane. And you can process up to 60 animals, not just beef, but all the others, a week. That's a lot of processing.
I feel it is, or we feel it is. You know, we've had people respond saying, you know, 60 animals is just not enough. It's not enough per week to take on what's going on in the area. And that number is the number that is set up per Douglas County. The code says that we cannot do more than 60 large animals per week or 200 small animals, which would be chickens or rabbits. Now,
so Douglas County set that up.
Yes, ma'am. That's not us.
Would Carson Valley Meats be able to do more if that was changed? Do you want to keep it a small family farm run business?
So the way I look at it is, I mean, because again, somebody said, let me just back up real fast and say that 60 or 200, when we went before our planning committee meeting that day, they erased the 200 because they asked, are we going to be harvesting chickens? And we said, no, poultry. And so they said, let's just remove that then. So fair enough. So it's not even on the table that we're going to be doing poultry or rabbits. It's 60 large animals per week. And so what I try to get across to people is okay, 60 animals may not sound like a bunch, mm-hmm. but times that times 52 weeks, that's over 3,100 animals.
Yeah.
That's a lot because you've already got three other plants in the area. And the way that we're looking at this is we're not trying to build this to try to shut somebody else down. We're trying to give everybody
work in harmony.
Yes, at another place. And talk about a perfect area because you're separated from the one in Reno and the two in Fallon. So you're not trying to fight over the same customers, if you want to say.
You're giving the Carson Valley ranchers.
Correct. So it's just a win for everybody because you've got people that are in the Gardenville, Carson City area that would choose to come to us that are right now making that trip to Reno. So then that's going to enable people that cannot get into the one in Reno, have more open slots to take care of animals for people in their area that have not been able to get
in. Wow, that's
going to
keep people off the roads?
It is.
That's going to...
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this project is something that we actually started back in March looking at. Our last caller actually brought up about the water. Mm-hmm. That's a serious thing. And so we went to our engineering company and went over all of this with these guys. What do you think about all of this before we even put down an offer on this piece of property?
Okay. Well, let's start talking to some of your neighbors. And we've got 884-9910. The lines are open. Mary's on the line right now. Hi, Mary. What would you like to talk about?
Hi, Monica. I just wanted to mention, you know, this project was already denied. And it's in an appeal right now. So just so the listeners understand that, it was already denied. A FEMA floodplain shows a really high floodplain area, and we're concerned with the contaminants, as kind of mentioned before. There's a four-foot drop from 88 to the property, meaning that the county has already built the road, so it's ready for floods in the future. And, yes, the project is right off the road, and it's at a roundabout that's very dangerous. There have already been accidents since the roundabout. So just some things to keep in mind. There's a lot more involved in it's not a good place. I think even the ranchers say that 60 cows, I've heard talk to ranchers, is not cost effective. So that's yeah, that's my 2 cents worth. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate that. So why was the project denied originally? Or was it what?
It was denied. It was a tie, a 3-3 tie between the commission, the planning committee, and it was denied for that reason. So we finally had somebody that was a planning committee member come back and say, okay, I will deny this project so that you guys can just move on with your appeal, because we're not going to get anywhere. Everybody is just locking horns, and they were not going to...
No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. They weren't going to give in. And so their big concern, I think, just the A19 permit, right?
That was a big part of it, yes.
And
yes.
What's the A19
that's
permit?
That's a special use permit, it's called, for okay. Douglas County. It's a very umbrella, if that's the correct term to use, permit. There's businesses all over the county that have that special use permit.
Gotcha.
And so it's not something that has just been put into place for Carson Valley Meats. To our understanding, the veterinarian clinics that are on 88 have that special use permit. And basically what that permit enables the county to have stricter guidelines over the business, to watch them closer, okay. To make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Okay. Let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Jan this morning. Hi, Jan. What would you like to talk about?
Morning. The big objection is that this is a FEMA A01 floodplain that they're proposing to build this slaughterhouse. And so FEMA won't get involved in making an opinion on this. And when my husband and I built 5 years ago, we had to do an environmental study before we could even build our house. And to date, no environmental study has been done on this proposed facility. The Nevada EPA said, well, it has to be approved by the county first. Once that's done, then they would have to apply for a wastewater permit, and that has its own public hearings. It has a public comment before they're allowed to get the wastewater permit. So that's another hurdle that they're going to have to go through, even if this does pass with the county commissioners on November 13. So I think the big concern is it isn't a FEMA A01 floodplain. At the Planning Commission meeting, when their engineers were asked, well, is this vertical flow waste foolproof in a major flood, they either could not or would not answer that question. My understanding, and maybe Karen
who
has
is they?
Some,
who's they? I'm sorry, I missed that.
The engineers. The engineers could not or would not
okay.
answer that question, you know, Karen's engineers. So my understanding is they've gone back to the drawing board to re-examine this whole vertical flow process to see if indeed it would be 100% foolproof in a major flood. So that's yet to be determined, based on my last understanding. So anyway, like I said, it's not that we don't need a slaughterhouse or a processing plant in this valley. It is needed. It's just the location that's got everybody in the community, or a lot of people in the community, very nervous.
Gotcha. Okay, Jan, thank you so much for the call, and I appreciate that information. Is there anything that you want to address from that? Because the calls are stacking up.
I would just say that, you know, we have put our engineering company in charge of this project, and the concerns did come out at the planning committee about this, and so that yes, they have gone and looked at revamping that water filtration system and putting it out of the floodplain.
I don't envy you guys, because this seems strange to me as I'm hearing people talk, what you have to go through. Things have to be approved before you can actually get things done that should be done before you go for approval. It's just, it's a strange process.
Oh, it's unreal, you know. And I mean, if we get the doors open and USDA is with us 5 days a week. That's only one little piece of this as far as permits, people watching us. NDEP is the water system for us that's going to watch over everything, and it's serious business. We were told at the planning committee meeting that if we do not follow the rules, we would be fined $20,000 a day, I believe it was.
I mean, you'd think you'd want an environmental impact study before you even figured out if you wanted to do this or not. So that just seems strange to me. All right, let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Dave this morning. Hi, Dave. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hi, Monica. Well, I guess I'm more of a realistic about things and factual rather than emotional. And the thing is you put this whole decision in engineer and design, and that's what they're for. I mean, is to prove and make sure things are correct. And you have the USDA, you have the EPA, and you probably have the FDA involved in all this, Food and Drug Administration. There's multiple that's overseeing, and that goes with every company. And I'm having a problem with the people down here in the valley that want to put a control. I think them choosing to put that outside of the town is safer than trying to put something like that in town, per se, in the business districts, but put it out there so it can be controlled better. Floodplain, well, that's the engineers, and that's the county. You got codes, you follow it, you do fill, you do, wherever needs to be to raise the building if need be, whatever it takes. But it has to be engineered, and I'm understanding that that's exactly what's going on. So, you know, the emotion of things sometimes get in the way of the factual things and the truth of things. Here we have a lot of complaints about this, but I'm not hearing the big uproar about the county commissioners approving 2,500 to 2,600 homes on the east side of 395 called the Park Development, and another 500 and some homes that they want to approve down in the Ranchos. But that, to me, that would be much more concern of our water, our concern of our water tables and contamination of water, whatever, when you start adding that many more homes and then, of course, businesses. So I'm having a problem with taking and picking out one business like this that has to follow more regulations than anybody else would have to follow in a business in the valley. So I'm in support.
And, well, and I
as
think
long
that with,
as everything
with
follows.
The concern of the water is where people get, as you put it, Dave, emotional, because we've seen so many water issues up here in northern Nevada, in the Reno, Sparks area, that we don't want to see happen down in the valley. So, Dave, thank you so much for your call, sure. And thank you for bringing up the housing facts, because that is something else that has to be taken into consideration. It's like, well, how did this go through, yet this didn't? So, Dave, thank you so much. Beth, stay on the line. I got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Beth's comments. And put it on your calendar. If you live in Douglas County, there's going to be an open house, open conversation, and get your feelings out and look at the engineering. It happens on Saturday, November 9th, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. I want to see Douglas County there. This is your valley. This is your issues. Be a part of it. Make your voice heard. And that's what we're doing right now on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. We'll be back after this.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica Jay Show, live and local FM Talk for all of northern Nevada. Big issue going on in the Carson Valley right now as Carson Valley Meat strikes to get going in an area that is being repurposed. It's an old dairy farm that they're trying to turn into a processing plant, a USDA-certified processing plant. And I just it makes me wonder, because the big concern here is water. Everybody's talking about the water. Would your treatment of the wastewater, how does that compare to all of the development, all of the houses that are being approved to come into the area? How does it compare to that?
So I definitely cannot speak on behalf of the technology side of it, but your housing developments are all going to be hooked up to a city sewer system. Ours,
which, by the way, in Douglas County is on the floodplain as well.
Correct. Correct. And so this system here will have any liquid, meaning the water that comes off of our processing floor or our harvest floor, will go through a set of drains out of the building. All blood, because that has been brought up multiple times about all this blood getting into the system. Mm-hmm. The blood is going to go into a separate tank that the rendering company will come and pump out. Now, we're not sure how often that will be yet. Just it's going to depend on how quick it gets filled up. I can't really give that number. But that's going to go in its own separate tank to be pumped up and taken out of here. So all of the product off of the harvest day, it'll go down a drain. All drains will have a screen in it, so it's going to catch all of the large product to not go down the drain. So it's basically just going to be a liquid that's going out water through the drain system. It will be pumped through into a set of septic tanks. The septic tanks are going to work as a filter to catch anything that maybe the drain screens did not catch. On the amount of animals that we are processing is going to determine how many of those tanks we have set up. I think we're thinking maybe three or four of those septic tanks are going to be lined up. It'll go through each one of those. Then the water will be pumped into the lagoon, which is this big pond that everybody is talking about. This pond is going to be, I think it's around 4 feet high. It's going to be lined with a plastic lining. Then it'll have the pipe system that comes from the buildings that will go and be put into the bottom of that lagoon. And then that lagoon will be filled up with gravel, and I think it's 3 or 4 feet high of gravel. Don't quote me exactly, but then at the far end, that water will come out of that lagoon, and it will be clean enough that you can just put that water right back out on the field, so it's a renewable resource.
Okay.
And when we started this process, we found a company, I think it was in Minnesota, that put on a phenomenal talking point about this system, and they actually showed a picture, and the water going into that system was kind of a dark grayish black color.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes out the other end of that lagoon, it's crystal clear. I mean, the guy's actual words was, this water is actually cleaner than some third world country's water that they're drinking.
Okay.
So it's a phenomenal system.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Beth this morning. Hi, Beth. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hi. I'm in favor of it. Okay. I remember that dairy farm when I was a little girl, and I would hate to see it be destroyed or brought down. I think it's actually a really good idea to refurbish and to bring more companies to the valley. So I'm in favor of it, and I think it's a good idea.
All right. Well, Beth,
thank you.
We appreciate that support. And again, if you support it, if you don't support it, it's all about conversation. And the big thing is the open house on Saturday, November 9th, because the vote of the county commission is going to be on November 13th. So be there. And where is this? Is it at the location?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Okay.
876 Centerville Lane.
Give it a tour.
Can I say one more
let
thing?
People see what's going on. Yes, Beth, please. One more thing.
Okay, about, the noise that, people are saying it's going to be noisy. The animals are only going to be there for 24 hours, correct? So there's not, they're not going to be screaming cows, you know. It's going to be fast and simple. So, I mean, it's not going to be that loud. And even if it is, it's only 24
hours. And honestly, dealing with the emotions on that, the cows don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
actually,
and
prior
like,
to
oh my
our,
gosh, I'm going to get slaughtered. So, because it's just ridiculous. I don't know. But I'm for it. So, best of luck to y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Thanks for the call.
prior to our planning committee meeting, of a representative for Douglas County came up to Wolfpack. And actually, I take that back. He came up prior for smell, to check out the smell issue, and he did not have a problem with it, and that's what he reported to everybody. I believe since then he's came back to Wolfpack for the noise level, and it was not an issue either. It's just not going to be the problems that people feel that it's going to be.
Yeah, you want some smell, go hang out at the light next to the sewer treatment plant. That's a good one. All right, Doug, please stay on the line. I'm going to carry this conversation over just a little bit. I was going to give you till 11:30, but people want to talk about it, and that's what I'm here for. So 884-9910, we're discussing the Carson Valley Meats Processing Plant that wants to get going in Douglas County, and there's a commission meeting on Wednesday, November 13th. We'll be back with more from Karen Sinclair and Mike Holcomb right after this, after we get an update from Fox News on KKFT, The Monica Jay Show, on 99.1 FM Talk.
99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, KKFT.
So basically all that, Mr. Weatherman, you're telling me it's going to be gorgeous tomorrow for a Saturday in Northern Nevada? Just drive around and check everything out? It's KKFT, The Monica Jay Show, on 99.1 FM Talk and also 92.3 FM in Yerington and Smith Valley on KSVL. Thanks for joining us today. We're having a conversation with Karen Sinclair and Mike Holcomb with Carson Valley Meats, trying to get the project up and going. There is a county commission meeting for Douglas County on November 13th, but you are also having an open house at the location. Let's see. What is the location, actually? All I have is Centerville Lane.
876 Centerville Lane.
876 Centerville Lane, if you are in that area, whether you're for it or against it. Actually, if you are for it or against it, we want everybody there to have a conversation, to take a tour, to see what's going on. Saturday, November 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is a big open house. You're going to hear from the engineers. I don't think I've seen a business that's more highly regulated than yours.
Correct. Yeah, there's actually, I believe it's 9 different entities that will be watching over this process from start to finish to get it, you know, for permits, NDEP, the water. I mean, that is such a huge company, big time serious stuff. If you fall out of line with those guys, USDA, county watches over us, health department. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, this is big stuff. I mean, we're serious about what we're trying to do. We're excited to bring this to the area. It's something that's desperately needed, and we feel it's just a fantastic location. Yes, we know that there's some concerns, but we feel it is.
I hate to play on sympathies too, but it's like Dave called in earlier and was talking about the thousands of homes that are trying to be built out there, and this my personal view. I look at it is it do you want to see all these homes taking away that beautiful landscape, or do you want to see a historic ranch repurposed and basically left the way it is and have a history of the Carson Valley maintained?
And that is one thing that we really want to emphasize, is that my goal is to spruce it up. I want to literally put it back as a working ranch. I've had some cattle ranchers contact me. They want to graze their cattle on the property. So I want to keep everything local. I want everything to be clean and good looking. And the history is a really big thing. I want to bring back the Stork Dairy. Yeah. I want to bring back Carson Valley Meats. There's a lot of history there. And I believe that we can envelop all of it and do a nice job and keep it clean and keep it away from any scrutiny.
And preferably with community support.
That would be wonderful.
Let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910 here on the Monica Jay Show and check in with Doug this morning. Hi, Doug. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Oh, a couple of little things. The first thing that I want to say, thank you for having this conversation. And we probably know more about our county ordinances now than we ever thought we'd know before. So here's one of the situations. Ordinance 763 gives a definition of agriculture: use of land for farming, dairying, pasturing, grazing, horticulture, floriculture, apiaries. It covers a lot of things. And then it says, excluding stockyards, slaughtering, or commercial food processing. That was put into place in 1996. Part of the ordinances are for the residents to be able to enjoy where they are. And we do recognize the history of the ranching. We love the cows. I'm originally from Ohio. This makes me feel at home to have the cows pasturing. However, the location, once again, as my wife, you know, she has a hard time passing a cattle truck on the road. You know, just it brings up images and everything else. So the location, we are concerned about the floodplain. We're concerned about a number of things. But there's a reason why they excluded slaughtering or commercial food processing in the original ordinances. And so that's one thing. But I do have a question for the guests. And we had heard that they were planning on using Temple Grandin's methods, which are much more humane and everything else. I'd like to leave you with those comments and then ask that question of their usage of Temple Grandin's methods, because we don't see that in the architecture plans. And thank you.
Okay, Doug, thank you so much for that question. What is Temple Grandin methods? What is he correct in saying that that's what you plan on using?
Temple Grandin is the queen of animal treatment, humane processing of animals. When she speaks, you better listen, because the meat industry definitely looks at what she does. And if you were to pull up her name on Google it, she's actually designed so many
working
harvest facilities for the big names, the big companies that are around the country. She knows what she's doing. She knows how animals react, the things to do to keep those animals as calm as it can be. And that's what we are going to do with this process. We are going to, all of our pens, all of our alleyways, everything, we're going to base that off of Temple Grandin's suggestions, her input towards that.
And the people, the employees
correct.
As well, I'm hoping.
Correct, correct,
okay.
Yes. Yep.
That, because I feel the same way as Doug's wife does. I see a cattle truck and it's like, oh, you poor babies. You know, and you have kids that are raised with these animals and they become pets. And it's like, but we know that there's a process there.
There is. And so if you think back over the last 10 years, look how many times big operations have been shut down because somebody snuck in, took some videos of somebody mistreating the animals.
Yeah.
And so it's such a big thing, even with USDA. USDA will actually come around. They have somebody that will come to your site day of a harvest and watch you to make sure that you're doing everything that you're supposed to do, or they'll shut you down.
Yeah.
You're shut down on the spot.
And so this harvest is only one day a week.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
One day a week. Yep.
All right. Real quick, this is going to have to be the last question or the last statement. AJ, what would you like to say on this this issue of Carson Valley Meats in Douglas County?
Hi, Monica. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, AJ.
I have just one question. I'm assuming that they're going to do an environmental impact study on it. But my biggest concern is, and I'm all for keeping things local, and I'm all for, we all eat beef, but it keeps bringing me back to Fallon, guys, where we couldn't figure out why all those kids were getting cancer. And the water tables and the water levels are so high when they come up, we don't realize that feces, and you just said you had pens, goes into that water table. Now, I know you guys are probably thinking we can protect it, but it's already there because it's already agricultural and already grazing for cattle. How are all those homes around there going to be protected from that getting into their water supply system? And it took years for us to figure out why all those kids were getting cancer in Fallon, and they eventually decided it was from the water going into the trees, going into cantaloupe, all that stuff. My concern,
yeah, but wasn't that also fuel going into the water?
It was both, because remember when the water tables got high, then we decided
that that's where all those smallpox and all those things started. And whenever you move that around and those water tables start to get high because of all the rains and stuff we're getting, it moves that stuff around. Whooping cough is back. So you, my biggest concern is, and I'm a lover of the Carson Valleys. I'm a fifth generation Nevadan. My grandparents are out there. We're out there with the business. But the problem is when you combined homes around a facility such as yours, you cannot guarantee 100% that that stuff won't get, you have pens. That feces goes into that soil. And when the water tables get high, that can get into the water system. So is there going to be an environmental impact done around not just this project, but around that whole area for those homes? That's my question.
Okay, AJ, I got to let you go. That's a great question, Mike. It goes back to the process. You guys can't do an environmental study until it's approved by the commissioners on the 13th.
Correct.
I just answered my own question, just putting words into your mind and stuff like that. So, okay. Wow. That's, you know, I meant to spend a half an hour with you. I spent an hour and a half with you, actually, a little bit longer. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Mike Holcomb, Karen Sinclair, Sinclair Farms, Carson Valley Meats. Go to the open house. Have that open conversation on Saturday, November 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And remember, your voice needs to be heard. As long as we have great dialogue, we're going to have a great community. Find out more at carsonvalleymeats.com. And don't miss the open house meeting. Call me on Friday to remind everybody about
it.
All right. Thank you so much. Karen, Mike, have a great day. And we'll be back right after this talking about the river walk that we're going to do tomorrow morning. And wow, concerned about the water in the Carson Valley? We've got some numbers for the Truckee River and how our drinking water is being treated right after this on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. We got it all. All of Northern Nevada, it's the Monica J. Show on 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM. Talk lines are always there for you, 10 to noon every weekday, 884-9910. Don't forget those numbers. Just put them right next to your phone. Or Monica at 991FMTalk.com. We're having a big day tomorrow morning. I'll let Paul White give you all of the details on it. We're going to check out the Truckee River, but I am so concerned. Paul White is joining me right now from QOL-Reno.org, the Quality of Life Reno. And Paul, thank you for joining me for just a few minutes as we get ready for tomorrow morning. I'm going to be recording my show and replaying it next week so people will hear, you know, hopefully we can get some vagrants or homeless to speak with us and we'll get their comments and concerns. But you took a water sample from the Truckee in the area that we're going to be visiting, and you got the numbers back.
We did, Monica. We took samples for fecal matter, E. coli, and coliforms right there in the camp where the people are all camping. And to quote the lab analysis, they said it is, quote, screaming high numbers. Their machinery can't measure any higher for all three of them than what we came up. And he said, you don't want any numbers for those three items in your water.
Now, this water was actually taken and is going into the intake at Glendale.
Correct. And what
there
the
you have it.
Said,
that's our drinking water. That's how it's being treated.
Right. And what he told us is that it does not dilute as it's in the water, which means not only is it going into the intake at Glendale, but it's going into Pyramid Lake.
That is just incredible. Yeah. Where are the Paiutes? Where is the Indian tribe speaking up on this issue as well? It seems
We've
as though Mayor Sheevy has, I kept wanting to say Shillery. Mayor Sheevy has all of a sudden come around to this is a problem. This is an issue. What are we going to do Saturday morning? Where do we meet? What time? And what should people be ready for?
Well, they want to meet there at number 5 South Park Street. It's the entrance to Broadhead Memorial Park. And we're going to leave on our walking tour at 9 o'clock. It's only like 30, 40 minutes. They'll be joined by some environmental organizations, some media, and mostly, Monica, they'll just simply get to see what the city has allowed. Hundreds of tents, like I say, river pollution numbers that are off the hook for health issues. This is one of the most violent areas in the entire city, and we hope it will encourage them to get involved and join with you and us in changing this situation.
Yeah, and don't just, you know, climb onto the bandwagon of the mayor who says now
right. It's
an issue. This has been an issue for years, and it has been ignored. It's being dealt with in the wrong ways. And I find it interesting, Paul, that you put the notice out about this. And what was the comment that you got online that you texted me from somebody who just decided to voice their opinion?
Oh, was this the one I sent you where the guy said, stay off my porch?
Yeah.
This was one.
Isn't
one
that
of the,
nice?
One of the residents living down there in his waterfront tent condo illegally and helping pollute our drinking water said, well, tell those tourists tomorrow morning to stay off my porch. I appreciate the sentiment.
It felt rather threatening.
Yeah. No, we've had a significant amount of that this week. And well, here's the thing, Monica. When the mayor said, we need to change that situation because it's dangerous, she went on to add that she thinks it's dangerous for the people living there. No, the danger is for the people who are regularly assaulted, raped, and killed down in that area.
Well, and we want to add, make sure in an area that the taxpayers paid for to have paved as the Truckee River walking trail, not the Truckee River homeless encampment.
Absolutely.
All right. Paul, I thank you for doing this. Log on to qol-reno.org. Come be with us. It's right outside of the baseball park. They've already tried to clean some of it up. They've hauled trash off. They've hauled burnt out cars off. But that's not going to fool people. We're going to be recording the show for... Yeah, there's plenty to see, plenty of people to talk to. Like I said, we'll be recording the show for replay next week. I hope you join us. Paul, thank you so much. And we will have security with us, so don't worry. You're not going to be harmed. And it is not a place for children to see
thank
what
you,
people
Monica.
Are doing. So please, adults only. Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I got an email. Thank you, Paul. I got an email from Vance who asked me bluntly, why is it that County Commissioner Kitty Jung has no official form of contact on the County Commissioner's page? So if you go to the staff profiles at washoecounty.us, you pull up the chair, Von Hartung. There's his office line and his email. Bob Lucy, there's his office line, email. Marsha Birkbigler, office line, email. Jeannie Herman, office line, email. County Commissioner Kitty Jung only has her cell phone number on there. Is she answering this cell phone? And there's no way to email her. I mean, you might know how to get a hold of her, but other people don't. So that just makes me wonder, does she want to hear from you? Start holding your county commissioners, your city council people, your supervisors, your state representatives, start holding them accountable. Talk to our new county manager. Say, hey, these are my commissioners. How come their information, their contact information, isn't accurate, or why are I not getting return phone calls when I have concerns? Even if it's from a staff member, because then you can always go back and say, well, their staff member should have told them my concern on this. That's all I can ask you. Start listening, start speaking, start using your voice, and start holding people accountable. I hope I see you Saturday. Saturday morning, we're going to start the tour at 9 o'clock, so get there early. And we will hold the City of Reno accountable for this and the Washoe County Commissioners. This will not be San Francisco or L.A. We will not have these diseases, and we will not have this around our drinking water. Have a great weekend. Whatever you do, be safe. Know I'm going to be thinking about you and how we can make Northern Nevada even better than it is right now. It's going to be beautiful tomorrow, even a little bit warmer for you. I'm Monica Jay. This is your live and local FM talk show on KKFT 99.1 FM.